Okay, good evening, everyone. Today, we will be continuing our study from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And the last Sunday, we finished till verse number 8. But today, when I start, I would like to go through the first three verses of Revelation, chapter 21. And then we will start from verse number 9. And before that, let me just share my screen. Okay, and Revelation chapter 21, as we start there, we see in verse number 1, it reads, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." When we read that, we know that we have completed the millennial reign of Christ. If you look at verse number 15 of chapter 20, it reads, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is the great white throne judgment. And in this great white throne judgment, those that were not in the first resurrection, they were resurrected. And those whose name was not found in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire, which is hell. And so that completes or finishes the millennial reign of Christ. And as we come into chapter 21, we see John seeing a new heaven and a new earth. For the past heaven, or the first heaven and first earth, were passed away, and there was no more sea. And so we have now entered into eternity. And so in verse number 2, we see something dramatic, as we can see here. And John says, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." Remember what Jesus told us in John 14, verses 2 and 3. The Lord Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I do so, I will come back to receive you unto myself. And there where I am, you will be also." I just paraphrased those two verses. And this was what our Lord Jesus Christ was preparing for us, this holy city, this New Jerusalem. And John is seeing this New Jerusalem coming out from God out of heaven. It's going to be a tremendous sight for John and for us that day when we will see this New Jerusalem, because this is our home. This is the home for the believers, for those that live in this church age. What a tremendous sight John is seeing here. And we see in verse number 3, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." What a promise that is. We will have in the tabernacle that we will be residing in this holy city, this new Jerusalem, as we see coming down from God out of heaven as a bride. This is like almost the gift from our Christ Jesus for his bride. What a day that is going to be when we visualize this coming down, this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And what else is there besides us being there? God the Father and God the Son is going to dwell in that place. And we will be staying with them for eternity. That means forever and ever. No matter what we may go through in our life in this world, we can rest on the promises of God that he has prepared this place for us. He will be bringing it out of heaven for us, and we will be dwelling with our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. This is just a picture of the New Jerusalem descending out from God, out of heaven. What a sight that is. And no artist can draw or reproduce this New Jerusalem for us. Let us look at verse number 9 now. And they came, and there came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So John has been approached by this angel, one of the angels out of the 7 that had poured out these vials, the last of the judgments that we were seeing. And this angel will be taking John to a high mountain, as we see in the next verse, and going to show John this bride, which is the New Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife. You can imagine visualizing this New Jerusalem coming out from God, out of heaven, and it is like a bride in a marriage ceremony here. Who is the most important person in that marriage, which is the bride? When the bride walks into the church, all of them that are gathered there for the marriage will arise and welcome the bride into this church. And all eyes are upon the bride. That is so much of importance that is given. And we see here this New Jerusalem descending out from God, out of heaven. And we can see the sight and the tremendous appearance of this New Jerusalem. And he says, and he carried me, in verse 10, away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. When we look at this, there is no way a person, a created person, can describe this magnificent, amazing, solid piece of architecture which our Lord Jesus Christ himself has prepared for us. And to me, this is all that is needed for us to live and lead a holy life during this time of our life on this earth. And he says, he carried me to that place to see this holy Jerusalem descending out from heaven and from God. This is a gift from God, and this is a gift for us from the bridegroom himself, which is Christ Jesus. And it says in verse 11, having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. When you look at the description of the glory of God, sometimes it may be difficult for us to describe the glory of God in many situations. because of man's sin, the glory of God had left here. But Paul talks about and instructs the believers in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, saying, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. One day we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ in New Jerusalem, dwelling with him. And the two wonderful facts that makes this city, this holy Jerusalem, this New Jerusalem, will be the manifestation of the fullness of God's glory. What makes it such a manifestation and fullness is the presence of God himself in New Jerusalem. And the second is, of course, the presence of the saints, the believers there. Going back to verse number 12, it says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereof, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, when you look at it, when we start verse 12, what we see is a blueprint of our future home, which is the New Jerusalem. Many of us have bought homes here on this earth. And of course, when we go buy a house, we want to know how many bedrooms there are, how many bathrooms there are. And do we ever talk about the foundation or the walls or anything like that? We don't, because we take it for granted. But here, when you look at it, our Lord Jesus Christ especially prepared this place, New Jerusalem, so magnificent, so precious, and so brilliant that we will be in awe when we see the structure that Jesus Christ himself has built for us. In verse number 12, and it says, and had a wall great and high. So there was a wall, it was high, it was great, and we will see the details of this as we go further down. And how many gates did this have? It had two gates. Most of the homes that have gates here, most of them have one, and some have two. And of course, mansions may have more. But here, this New Jerusalem have 12 gates. And at each of the gates, there were 12 angels. And the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, our Lord does not forget his chosen people, the 12 tribes of Israel. And each one's name is written on these gates, these 12 gates. What a memorial that is for them. And we will be living in that home, in that New Jerusalem, with these 12 gates. And there are 12 angels keeping a guard over these gates, although there's not going to be any kind of enemy attack or anything like that, because that is going to be the center of the universe. When we see John telling us, and the angel showing to John, that this New Jerusalem descending from God, from heaven, it does not tell us that this new holy Jerusalem comes down to the earth. It says that it comes descending down. And from my understanding, this will station someplace in space, and this will be a planet by itself, where the believers, the church age believers, they will be the ones residing in this holy Jerusalem. And could I say that it is an exclusive place, an exclusive only for residents of the believers of the church age? What a promise that is. God, our Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if it is not so, I would have told you so, and I will come and take you home by myself. Just paraphrasing that. And this new Jerusalem has a wall great and high. And we will see in the verses below the descriptions of that. And when we look at it, it is an amazing structure that we can't even believe. And we will be in awe when we watch and see what the structure is like. And it says on the east, there are three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, there are three gates. And on the west, there are three gates. So when you add all of these, the four sides, three gates each, will add up to a total of 12 gates. And these 12 gates, it appears that this appears to be similar to the formation of the tribes of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness with the tabernacle right in the middle, and these tribes of Israel surrounding this and kind of guarding this tabernacle of God. And so when we look at this structure, we as believers will be dwelling and staying in this structure, which is the New Jerusalem, and God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ will be dwelling with us in this New Jerusalem. And this new planet, the New Jerusalem, will be suspended in space with all the other planets circulating and moving around this planet. And there is a reason for that, that I believe it is so. Now let's look at verse number 14. Verse number 14 says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So this city has foundations, just like our homes that we have here on earth. We have foundations, but our foundations, when we buy a home, we don't very much talk about foundations very much. We talk about how many bedrooms we have and how many full baths and all of those. But here it talks about particularly 12 foundations. And these foundations have names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. What is the significance of this? We see that these 12 apostles were the foundation of the church as during this church age. This church is built upon the foundation of these 12 apostles. And Jesus, when he was on this earth, we see that he was the cornerstone of this foundation, because it is Jesus being the cornerstone that solidifies the structure of the church with these 12 apostles as the foundation. When we look at this foundation further down, we will see an amazing description of this foundation. You see, when we buy a home here, our foundations are about 12 to 15, 18 inches thick, and they are made of slabs and piers and beam types of foundation. But look at the foundation of this new Jerusalem that Christ Jesus has built for us. It is tremendous and it is solid. And so let's continue with verse number 15. And it says, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. So who is the one that talked with John? It was the angel, one of the angels that had poured out the vials filled with plague. And he carried this measuring rod. And we will see that he will measure this city, and we will take a look at it. And the next verse, in verse number 16, it says, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, and it was 12,000 furlongs. 12,000 furlongs can be translated into 1,500 miles. 12,000 furlongs, 1,500 miles. Some have described a little different, but approximately 1,500 miles. And the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So we see it is almost like a cube. And I was trying to get a picture how we can describe this. Some describe it as a pyramid. I do not know how that is going to be. But if you look at this, 1,500 square miles either way, and down, the height, breadth, and the length. All of those 1,500 miles, and the total of this diameter will be about 2,600 miles in diameter, and the circumference of that is 8,164 miles. It appears that there is plenty of space for all believers to be in this New Jerusalem. Now, so I was curious to find out what the circumference of the earth is, and the circumference of our earth that we live in is 24,901 miles. But remember that we only occupy the surface of this earth. We do not dwell inside the earth or in the middle of the earth or any other inner parts of this earth. We don't. God had kept the gravity in such a way that we won't be thrown off from the surface of the earth. However, in this New Jerusalem, we will be dwelling inside of this New Jerusalem. And there was a mathematician that calculated that each believer may have somewhere between 60 to 70 acres of land in there. I do not know why we need that much of acres. We hope that we can bring more people to Christ so more of the people can be in this New Jerusalem. So that is a tremendous structure that we will be seeing. Now, there is more to this as we look. And verse 16 says 12,000 furlongs, which is approximately 1,500 miles. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And then what he did was this angel with the rod in verse 17, he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits. And so this structure that has been measured was giving a wall height of 216 feet. Can you imagine a wall that we have in heaven in the New Jerusalem? You know, we have a wall in the southern border of ours that was recently built in the last administration, the height of which was about 30 feet. And this is going to be 216 feet. And this gives character and gives the structure a great appearance. And that's what we see. Excuse me. And so when you look at it, we see this structure, New Jerusalem. If you look at it, the miles written is 1,364, and I mentioned 1,500, and this calculation may be right. I do not know, but we also calculated the other in furlongs. which will be about 1500. So anywhere around these two numbers will be the miles of this new Jerusalem. Now let us look further, and it says in verse number 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, if we do not have the privilege to own a lot of precious jewels and things like that, don't worry, there's coming a time when we will be walking in the city of pure gold, like clear glass, and it'll be such a structure that we will still be in awe and will be unbelievable. And another picture of this new Jerusalem, we see this one side, the other side, this is the wall, height of the wall, and we see the gate and three gates on each side, and each of the gates will have the names of the children of Israel, and the foundation, their names will be the names of the apostles. Now, there is something more about the foundation, and we will read that shortly. And here we come in verse number 19. It says, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And what I'm going to do is going to read these stones. I have not prepared anything in detail about these stones, but all I can tell you is these are precious, precious stones that our Lord God saw it fit to fill this foundation with these amazing stones, jewel stones, expensive stones. And this is the foundation. If this is the foundation, we can imagine, or we may not be able to imagine, what this new Jerusalem, the city itself, is. So I have put the north, east here. So this will be the south, and this area will be the west. This is the new Jerusalem. This is where the church will stay. This is where the believers of the church age will stay. And if you look, there are three gates on each side. This is the west, and this is the south, the three gates. On east, there is three gates, and on the north, on the side there, is another three gates, for a total of 12 gates. Now, let me read the stones that form the foundation of this new Jerusalem. The first foundation is jasper, jasper stone. And as I read this, I can honestly tell you that I do not know or have heard some of these stones. And some of them are very new to me, but I will read them, and we will have an idea of what Christ Jesus is doing for us in heaven. We are having an advanced knowledge of what he is creating for us. This alone is enough for us to lead a life worthy of his praise and honor. So the first stone of this foundation is jasper stone. The next stone is sapphire. And then we have the third stone, which is chalcedony. I've not heard of that, but it is. Emerald is something we have heard of, that the rich and famous, they wear emerald jewelry and all of those, and that's emerald. The next stone, which is the fifth stone, is the sardonyx stone, and that is the fifth. And the sixth one is sardius. Sardius is the sixth level stone. And the seventh foundation stone is chrysolite, chrysolite. And those that are interested to know more about these, you can read. There's a lot of description about these and how you can look at the basis of our Lord choosing these stones to be the foundation of this new Jerusalem. And then the next stone that is being described is called the beryl stone, then topaz, of course, that I have heard. And this stone is something new. It's chrysoprasus. Chrysoprasus is the 10th stone. And then we have the jacinth, which is the 11th stone, and amethyst. Can't even pronounce this. This 12th stone. And these are the 12 precious, precious stones that our Lord has chosen to make it the foundation stone of this new Jerusalem. So I've already mentioned to you, as we come to chapter 21, we are already in eternity. And this new Jerusalem is for us believers. And we need to look forward to that day, then we can be in this home where God has prepared for us. So we have, let me just minimize the screen a little bit. And the last part of verse number 20, we see that these stones in a biblical reference points to the precious stones on the high priest's breastplate. So that may be the basis that how our Lord Jesus chose these stones, or there may be something else. And maybe we will have a chance to ask our Lord when we are in the New Jerusalem. Going to verse number 21, we see, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So we see that John is again revealing to us something that he did not tell us earlier, that each of these gates are made of one type of pearl. Many of you know more about pearls than I do, but I can tell you these pearls are formed from oysters or the mollusk, and they are found in deep oceans. And there are also today pearl farms that create these pearls. And from these oysters, an irritant or a foreign substance comes in, which becomes an irritant for this oyster, and it secretes a substance and it covers this irritant. And several layers of these are formed, and it covers this irritant, and this becomes a pearl. And this is very valuable. I was told a pearl ring costs anywhere between $300 to $1,500 to maybe several thousand dollars. It depends on the types of pearl. And I was told by reading that the pink pearls are one of the most expensive pearls. And here, John tells us that each of these gates were made of one type of pearl. So I'm sure somewhere in one of these gates, we may see a pink pearl. So we will have enough and more pearls and these precious jewels that God is preparing for us. And some of these are in the foundation of this new Jerusalem. If you look at this picture, we see this 12 foundations with those various colors of these precious metals. We see the little gates here, three on each side, and we see the walls, and the total height of this wall is 1,500 miles. And if you look at this structure, this is a structure where we don't live on the surface, but we will be living inside this space. And so it's going to be a marvelous sight. I have another picture I guess this may be showing that John and the angel is looking at the descent of this holy city, which is the New Jerusalem, which will be coming down from heaven and suspended in space someplace. And this is going to be the center of governance, because God the Father and the Son is going to be here, and everything else will be going around this planet. And there may be another reason why everything will be going around this planet, because of something very important. And I'm sure we will be able to read that here. Another picture of the New Jerusalem. And it is so difficult for an artist to picture and draw this awesome place of stay that our Lord is creating for us. Let us go. And it says in verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." If you remember, let me read 23 also. "And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So here, John did not see any temple therein, because God himself and the Lamb of God, they were the temple in it. And they were the ones that was giving out the glory of God, which lightened, and the light was shown from there by them instead of the sun and the moon. And if they are the ones and they are the source of light, you can imagine that is the light that will be going to shine this new earth and the other planetary planets around this. And the source of light is God, the Father, and the Lamb of God. Look at verse number 24. "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in this light of it." So we see this new earth that was created, that was formed, the new earth and new heaven in eternity. The nations of this world that was chosen by God himself, they will walk in the light of it. It doesn't say that they will live in this new Jerusalem. It does not. But they will come in there to worship their God. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, there will be a way for them to come there, but they will not stay there. That is not their abode. That is the place of the believers of this church age. What a privilege, what a blessing that is that God has given to us. And it says, "And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." So what we can presume is that these people from the nations, which is from this new earth, they will have a means of coming there and participate in the worship of their God, our God, and the Lamb. And they will worship, and we will be the priests serving our Lord God and our Master. And they will be there to worship God. And let us see in verse number 25. And it says, "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day." Why only by day? Because there is no night there. Once we get into eternity, there is no more night. There will be only day. And those gates will never be shut. It is always open. And what does it say? "These nations, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." So then the question is, which are the nations that's going to be there? If you remember the parable in Matthew chapter 25, I think it's starting from verse number 31. We see the last judgment where Jesus on the throne at the start of the millennium, and he will have the sheep on one side, on the right side, and the goats on the left side, and he will choose the sheep to be chosen by him. And these will be the nations that he chooses to the, and they will be the one that will be living on this earth during the millennium and the new earth that he will form. And in verse 21, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And who are the ones that are written in the Lamb's book of life? Those that believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, on the work that he did upon the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and those that believe on him and the work that is that he did, their names will be written in the Lamb's book of life, and they are the ones that are chosen to live in this new Jerusalem. What a great privilege that is for us to know that we are the ones that God is preparing for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's preparing this awesome of tremendous place for us, this new Jerusalem. If we only know and try to sink in this truth that our Lord is doing for us, because he says he's going to prepare a place for us, and this is the place, and he's giving us a blueprint of that place right now, so we can praise God and give him all adoration and thanks for what he's doing for us, and look forward for the day of his coming to take us home. This ends chapter 21, and next Sunday we will go to chapter 2, and let me close with a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the revelation that you have given to us about this new Jerusalem, this place that you are creating for us with 12 gates and 12 foundations, and the height and the breadth and the length of approximately 1,500 miles. Oh, Lord, we thank you. What an awesome structure this is, which we cannot even fathom or imagine. And this is what you have promised us. Father, give us the patience to wait for this day that we can see and be with you forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. We pray for those that do not know Jesus as their Savior, that they will have a privilege to know and come to hear and accept Jesus as their Savior, so they can be part of this structure, this gift, this bride that he's preparing for us. Thank you once again for everything. We pray for all those that are here this evening. We pray that you would bless them and take care of them. We pray for those that need special prayers for health, for travel, and all others that have been spoken. We pray for them. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.